Tonight we're going to be looking at a question that Wesley has called the zombie question, but the zombie apocalypse question. The question, though, we're going to be looking at tonight is, can the dead communicate with the living? That's the question we'll be looking at tonight, and hopefully from God's Word we can draw some answers. So before we look at Scripture, let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm reminded this evening of my own ignorance, Father, of how little I know, and that's why I must trust you, the one who knows all things. And so I just ask that you would guide us into the truth that you have revealed in your word, and that you would give us an understanding, Father, and that you would comfort those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, that you give us peace, Father, with some of the interesting experiences that we have in life, Father, that you'd help us to be cautious and mindful, Father, of the warnings in Scripture, but most of all to give you praise for the comfort that you give through Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Believe it or not, this is one of the most common questions that I get from particularly grieving widows. They never ask the question with other people around, though. I have been asked this question numerous times. The first experience I had was very shortly after I came here. I was getting to know everybody, and I went to visit a widow. And it was just me and her in the living room, and she looked at me and she said, "Pastor, do you believe in ghosts?" And I was like, "Who is this woman, and what have I got myself into?" And she went on to describe experiences that she had had after her husband died. Her husband liked to play pranks on her, and she said, "He comes back and plays pranks on me." And this is a woman who loved the Lord, and she's since gone on to be with the Lord. I have no doubt about her salvation, her walk with the Lord. But she explained things that have no earthly explanation. One of the stories she told me was about walking through a door, and then turning around, remember she forgot something, and she tried to open the door, and there was a piece of furniture that had been moved in front of the door. And she was in the house by herself. And it didn't scare her, didn't terrify her. She just laughed and said, "That's him coming back to play a prank on me," because that's the type of thing he'd do. Okay? Many people here would never, ever admit this, but in private, almost every widow I've ever talked to has had some type of experience that they really question, whether that is their spouse, people who've had loved ones die, have interesting experiences, maybe smelling cologne from somebody that's obviously been dead for months, just interesting things like that. Not only that, my dad was a hospice chaplain for many years, and people have very interesting experiences when they're at the point of death or near death. They will see loved ones. They will talk to loved ones. Many times, a week or two before they die, they'll tell my dad or someone else that, they came and they're calling for me. There are many experiences that we have had and other people have had that make us go, okay, what is going on here? So that's the question, because people have had loved ones maybe with dementia, and all of a sudden they have a clear moment and they say, "Grandmother's calling me, I can hear her name." And then the next day they pass away. What are we supposed to make of all these things? Can those who have passed on communicate with us today? That's the question. Well, in the Bible, there is very little said about this. In fact, there's really only two experiences in the whole Bible of dead people being seen or spoken to that were not raised from the dead. I'm not talking about Lazarus. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about the passage in Matthew where the Old Testament saints are raised. I'm talking about literal dead people appearing again. The first one is 1 Samuel 28. Should be a very familiar passage of Scripture to you. We're going to read the passage, and then we'll draw some conclusions from it. Now, Samuel was dead. Okay, this is not like Elijah who got taken up in chariots of fire. No, Samuel is dead. He is buried. He is gone. All Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even his own city. Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. The Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the hosts of the Philistine, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. Okay, if you remember the story of Saul, Samuel anoints Saul to be king, everything starts off great, and then Saul very quickly goes into rebellion, and at one point in time, Samuel says, God's taking the kingdom from you to someone better than you, and he turns around and never speaks to him again. And from that point on, God is pretty much through dealing with Saul. So Saul here is now getting attacked by the Philistines. Ordinarily, he would offer a sacrifice by himself, which was wrong. That's part of why God doesn't talk to him anymore. Or he calls Samuel. Samuel, what's going on? What do I do? Samuel's dead, and God's not talking to him. He goes to the tabernacle, no answer. He goes to the priest, no answer. God is done talking with Saul. So he wants to know what to do. So, in verse 7, Saul says to his servant, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. This is what we would call a medium, a necromancer, someone who communicates with the dead. There's all kinds of different words for that. But he wants someone who can communicate with dead people, or claims to be able to. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. Familiar spirit here meaning she has a connection with the demonic world. Okay, not exactly the thing that someone wanting to hear from God would do, to go talk to demons. But Saul here has been in sin for a long time. His heart is very hardened to the Lord, and he is desperate. So if he can't get an answer from God at the tabernacle, he'll try to get an answer from Satan with a witch. Okay, so that's where he goes. So Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. He went with and two with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray you, divine to me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I will name to you. Okay, the reason he's disguised himself is the woman says to him, behold, you know that Saul has done, how he's cut off all those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? She says, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't help you. Don't you realize that Saul kills everybody that says they can communicate with the dead? Because Saul had done that back when he was living for the Lord. He's not living for the Lord now, so he kind of has a change of heart. And he doesn't care where he gets an answer, even if it's from the demonic world. He wants to talk to Samuel. So Saul swears to her by the Lord, which is very interesting. He uses God's name, Yahweh, here, and he swears an oath by the one true God that if you talk to the demons, I won't do anything to you. I mean, you talk about really messed up. I'm going to swear by God's name that you can talk through demons to bring Samuel, the prophet of God, to give me an answer. But this is Saul. This is where sin leads you. Sin leads you to do crazy, messed up things. So he says, as the Lord lives, there will no punishment happen to you for this thing. Then said the woman, okay, who do you want to talk to? Who do you want me to bring up? And he said, bring up Samuel. I want to talk to Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cries with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why did you deceive me, for you are Saul? The king said to her, do not be afraid for what you see. The woman said to Saul, I saw gods, the word there is Elohim, meaning judges or rulers, beings ascending out of the earth. He said to her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man comes up, and he's covered with a mantle. Saul perceived that it's Samuel. He stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself, and Samuel said to Saul, why have you disquieted me to bring me up? Okay, before we continue, let's explain what happens here. In our world today, there's even TV shows about people who claim they can talk with the dead. There's psychic mediums, and there's 1-900 numbers, and all of those things. The vast majority of those are hoaxes. I believe it was in the state of New York many years ago, the governor actually employed homeless people as psychic mediums. If you ever watch a psychic medium, I can tell you how to do it. Okay? The only reason people call psychic mediums is because they got a problem. So you pick up the phone and you say, oh, I'm sensing that you're very troubled about something. If you're happy, you don't call a psychic. Okay? So you're troubled. Well, why would you be troubled? Well, because you're having relationship issues. Okay? That could be somebody dead. That could be marriage. That could be child. That could be a boss. That could be anything. Or you're having financial problems. Name another problem that a human being can have. Maybe health issues, but the health issues are exasperated because you don't have the money to pay for it. So they say, oh, I'm sensing some type of problem in your life. maybe it's a relationship. And if it's a relationship, oh, how did you know? If it's not, or, no, it's not a relationship. Is it financial issues? Oh, my goodness, how did you know? And so they do this. Okay, so if it's a relationship issue, well, there's only so many relationships that someone can have that they have a problem with. If it's a young person, well, it's got to be a parent or grandparent or something like that. And so they begin to go through, well, I'm sensing it's like a parent figure, maybe a father, a mother. I mean, what other options are there? The vast majority of them are hoaxes. This woman, in many respects, though she messes with the demonic world, flips out because this never happens. Okay, the fortune tellers and the psychic mediums and all of those people, one, as Christians, we shouldn't mess with them because there is a demonic world. But in all honesty, the vast majority of them are scams, and this lady was probably a scammer. Most of the stuff you watch on TV, that's just a complete scam. If you turn on, and I would encourage you not to watch it, but I know that there's people who, you know, what was the one that was passing over or crossing over with somebody? There's one, I think he said he could communicate with your dead pet. I think, I don't know if you remember that one too, but there's been all kinds of crazy ones that have come through. The vast majority of them are just scams. They're not communicating with anyone or anything. They just know how to play the system. Okay. Here, though, Samuel comes up. Her reaction says this never happens. Samuel comes, and she flips out and is terrified. Why? Because normally what you do is you close your eyes and you play the little game. It's not a game. Samuel comes, and his answer, you don't know, this is Samuel. One describes his appearance. This is exactly who Samuel was. This is the way he dressed. And Samuel says, "Why have you messed with my rest?" Okay, Samuel's in paradise. And now he's got to come back to this miserable world to talk to miserable Saul. Okay, I don't know about you, but if I got called out of heaven to come and deal with problem people in this world, I would be kind of upset and aggravated and cranky too. I mean, Samuel sounds kind of cranky, like, dude, leave me alone, man. I was happy. So anyways, Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answers me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I called you, that you may make known to me what I will do." Okay? And Samuel's answer is, "Tomorrow you're going to join me in the grave. You're dead." Okay? Now, a subset question that I was asked is, why did God give Saul an answer through Samuel? Well, part of the answer for the whole question is this is really one of the only real times in the whole Bible that someone, quote-unquote, comes back from the dead to speak to someone. And let me just tell you, it's not a pleasant experience. Okay, it is someone coming back to tell someone, God is going to kill you tomorrow. So when people say, oh, can the dead communicate with the living? Yeah, they don't play jokes. If there ever was a time, he comes back to tell you, God's mad at you, you're dead. So why would God allow Saul to hear this? Well, if you read throughout Scripture, God always sends warnings to people before his judgment. I mean, that's just a pattern in Scripture. This is not a blessing that God is giving to Saul. If you were to read the rest of the passage, Saul refuses to eat. He is terrified. He is laid on the ground. He's just completely terrified. This is not a positive experience. So when people begin to talk about seeing dead people or talking to dead people or a loved one or relative coming back and doing things, in the Bible, it's not a pleasant and it is not a comforting experience. This is God's judgment on Saul and is absolutely terrifying. So when you say, well, why would God do that? Well, the same reason that Amos preached against Syria. Okay, the same reason that Isaiah preached against Damascus. The same reason that Jonah goes and preaches against Nineveh. The same reason throughout all of Scripture that all the prophets ever preached is this is God's judgment on Saul. This is not a blessing. So the reason God allows this supernatural, once-in-the-history-of-the-world experience is for Saul's judgment, and it is not a blessing. So this is not God looking down and going, wow, Saul, I see a change of heart in you. You finally woken up and went to see a witch. I'll bless you now by letting you see your loved one that departed. This is the exact opposite. This is more a curse to Saul than it is a blessing. This is more God's judgment than it is in some way God rewarding or respecting Saul. So the answer to why does God allow this, this is in many respects is God's judgment upon Saul more than anything else. Okay, is he is telling him, you're going to die tomorrow. So this really truly is the only experience in the whole Bible, the next one we're going to look at, of a dead person communicating with the living. The only other one in the whole Bible that I'm aware of is Matthew 17, and this is repeated in several of the Gospels. Matthew 17, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them to a high mountain apart. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, Elijah never died. So this is not a dead person communicating with the living, okay? Because Elijah never died. So this is kind of like an Enoch. So that one, you can cross Elijah out. Moses did die. Okay, that is very clear in Scripture. He did die. But it's really hard to make this story right here applicable to any of us. Because Jesus is here transfigured in all of his glory, speaking with Moses. This is not really a dead person communicating with a normal living person walking around. This is a rare, once-in-a-history-of-the-world experience where the Son of God lets his glory be seen on earth and speaks with Moses. Hardly any type of precedent to make it normative that dead people communicate with the living. Throughout the rest of the Bible, there really are no other experiences anywhere close to of dead people communicating with the living. So Samuel is pretty much the only one. Moses, I don't think you could even really call that one. Now, there are a lot of angelic visions. There are messengers sent from God. There are people that go to heaven and have visions there. You have that the book of Revelation. You have Paul talking about the vision of the third heaven. You have all of these experiences. But one of the things that you'll find that all of those have in common is none of those people are visited by someone previously known to them. When John has his vision of heaven, virtually all the other apostles are dead. They've been martyred. Depending upon your date for the book of Revelation, which date you hold to, they're all dead. And John never makes a mention of, and I saw Peter there around God's throne. It's never mentioned. Now, did he see him? Obviously. Did he recognize him? Obviously. But the people who communicated with him were not people known to him. Even Daniel. Daniel has angelic visions, and they are angels. They are not, you know, Shadrach that comes back and tells him what's going on. It's not, you know, Meshach or Abednego or his mother. None of those people in all of their angelic visions and all of the prophecies and Isaiah seeing heaven and all of those things, not a single one of them was it a departed relative. The only real story we can point to anywhere in the Bible concerning this happening would be Samuel. And in that situation, it was not a blessing. It did not bring comfort. It brought terror and judgment. So the only time we have in recorded history of the dead communicating with the living is a terrifying experience of God's judgment being proclaimed through witchcraft and the demonic world, and is not necessarily what we call of God. Now, can the dead, though, can that happen? Well, Luke 16, this is from Jesus. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received good things. Likewise, Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. He said, I pray you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham says to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, No, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. There is a ton in this passage of Scripture concerning this question. One, it is explicitly very clear that the rich man is unable to leave hell to communicate with anyone. He can cry out to Abraham, but he is not able to leave. And notice, when he speaks of his brothers, he doesn't ask if he can go, because he knows that's not an option. So we can definitively, from this passage of Scripture, 100% say that people who are not believers who die, they have zero chance of communicating with the living today. Now, is it possible that Samuel, who would have been in paradise or Abraham's bosom, was he able to speak with Saul? Yes. Is it possible that maybe a loved one could come back from the dead and speak to you? Abraham pretty much puts the clamps down on that and says no. He doesn't say it's impossible, but it seems very, 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 very clear from Jesus that that doesn't happen. Has God allowed that to happen once? Yes. Was that to comfort someone? No. It was to bring judgment. Okay? It was to bring terror and judgment upon someone who is in sin. This was not the way that God would comfort one of his children. Okay? That's not the way he brings comfort. Here, it would seem pretty clear to me that even the living, even those who believe in Christ, who go to be with the Lord, are unable to come back and communicate with us. It would seem pretty clear. Now, is there the one instance of Samuel? Yes. But if you think mathematically of how many billions of people have lived on planet Earth and the one occurrence in Scripture, the chances of that ever happening again are like 1 in 7 billion. Okay, that's with today's population. You go the whole population of the Earth, you're talking like 1 in 12 billion. That's what you call impossible. It just doesn't happen. Right? Well then, what do we make of all these experiences? There are four possibilities. The first possibility is that the believer in Jesus Christ who passed has come back to comfort you. Like I said, that's pretty much biblically impossible. There is a slight possibility that happens. And we can't definitively, because the Bible never says that never happens. It seems to indicate it never happens. I would say that's really, really low on this scale. Another possibility, and we're going to look at some from Scripture here in just a second, is that we as human beings are very complicated creatures. We have very complicated bodies and very, very, very complicated minds. So much so that most doctors, my dad always likes to call it practicing medicine, because he says they have no idea what they're doing. Okay? Now, do doctors know a lot about some things? Yes. Do they know a lot about memories and where they come from and all those things? No. I have personally, through my time as a pastor, seen the effects of trauma, medication, allergic reactions, etc., on the human mind. And it is bizarre. I've seen, I went to visit a man who was in a hospital bed fox hunting. And there goes the fox. Can you hear the hounds? And the next minute he was remodeling the kitchen. I've seen people who hallucinate. They see things. These things happen. Is that normally because they're under some heavy medication? Yes. But many times when someone goes through severe trauma, okay, maybe a brain injury, maybe a massive heart attack, maybe a car wreck, something along those lines, the body shorts out. And in doing so, their mind will bring back vivid memories. Everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever done is stored in your brain somewhere. The issue is that you are unable to bring back those files and bring them back. But sometimes when the body is under stress, your body kind of shorts out and all of those memories come back. Okay, you think of somebody with dementia. Okay, if you see somebody with dementia, they cannot remember what happened 6 minutes ago, but they can remember something with vivid detail that happened 60 years ago. What has happened? Well, in many respects, the brain's just shorted out. And so it's not functioning as it should.
So when someone's body is shutting down, okay, near-death experiences, the oxygen level to the brain is going, the organs are shutting down, everything's going on haywire. When they're put on morphine, when they go through some type of trauma, when their body is not working as it should, many times they will have experiences. Some of them terrifying, some of them comforting. Sometimes they will see things that aren't there. Sometimes they'll hear things that are not there. Many times the things that people see and experience are naturally explainable. What you and I would call coincidence, or what you and I would call a short wiring of the brain because of stress, to someone who is grieving, it is not a coincidence. To someone who is grieving, okay, that's not stress causing my mind not to work properly. When you have lost a loved one, your body goes through just crazy things. Your stress level goes up, and all kinds of things happen. You don't sleep well. And when you walk in the room, you hear the floorboards creak, you're automatically going, that's my loved one, that's my loved one, that's my loved one. Okay? And if you've ever experienced loss, you know that's the way it is. You sit there and you expect to look at 5 o'clock for them to be driving home from work. That's just what you expect. And because of that, with the stress, lack of sleep, etc., it is very possible that there is a natural explanation for many of those things. You forgot where you placed your keys. Okay, that's called forgetting where you put your keys. But when you're missing your wife who's passed away, your mom who's passed away, your dad who passed away, and then you turn around and find your keys later, it's no longer I lost my keys. This is a supernatural experience. This is a loved one. So many times there is a natural explanation for it. Is that always the case? No. There are situations that I've had explained to me that I do not know of any natural way to explain them. Okay, like furniture being moved. I cannot explain that naturally. Smell, sights, hearing things. I'll give you a very good example. When I was visiting my grandma last, she's been a widow 58 years, 56 years. And she told me, she said, I had the most wonderful dream the other night. Your grandfather was there and he came up to me and he gave me a hug. And if you've ever talked to anybody who's lost a loved one, especially a spouse, that is one of the things they miss the most, is the physical affection. And she said it was the most real, wonderful experience I've had in years. And I could feel him giving me a hug. And it was so amazing, so comforting, and so wonderful. And I woke up so happy and so comforted. Okay? And then she said, but you know what happened? Is your sister, your cousin, I have a cousin who's a very good artist, she drew that picture for me. And I've been looking at that picture, and that's why I had that dream. That's why she had the dream. Now, did it bring comfort to her? Oh, you should have seen her face. I mean, it was just, for her, it meant the world. But there was a natural explanation for it. No, my grandfather did not come down from heaven and give her a hug while she was sleeping. But did that dream mean a lot to her? Oh, yes, it meant a lot to her. Was there a natural explanation for it? Yes. Would we be tempted to say that was not a regular dream? That was something different? Yes, we could be tempted to say that. But my grandma knows enough to know that probably was just my mind, because all of a sudden I get this new picture. I see the picture. And it brings back memories. I have memories. I have a dream while I'm sleeping. That's the way it works. Now, that is what I would say the vast majority of these coincidences and things are. Trauma, stress, lack of sleep, medication, allergic reactions, just our bodies not functioning the way they were intended to. That's what I would say the vast majority of them are. There's a teeny, 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 tiny possibility it's a dead person communicating with you. There's a very large possibility that it's just a natural phenomenon with the body not functioning properly. But there are two other possibilities. Acts 16, verse 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, this would be Paul, Silas, Luke, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this she did many days. But Saul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came up the same hour. This is a young lady who is possessed by a demon and makes tons of money by fortune-telling, communicating with the dead, etc. The spiritual world is real. There are demons, and the devil knows everything about you. And he knows everything about your loved ones. He's been around for thousands of years. He's got demons everywhere, and they don't have the limited lifespan that we do. Those demons have lived for 6, 7, 10,000 years, and they know everything about you. And sometimes they will use that knowledge to deceive people. I'll give you an article that I read. Very interesting. It was by a guy who was, I think he was an atheist. He was a Harvard psychologist, though, and the article was why he believed in demon possession. How you can be an atheist and believe in demonic possession beats me. But what caused him to change his mind, he used to think it was schizophrenia and people hearing voices and just psychological explanations, is he met a woman that was referred to him. The woman came in to his office, had never seen her before, never met her before, was from a different part of the country. They did not know each other. And she knew his mother's name, where his mother lived, when she was born, when she died, and the disease she died from. Upon the first meeting. She had never studied Latin, but she could speak it fluently. And he said, "Okay, this is not of this world." Now, why do we say that? Well, because I think it was one of the ladies in our church was telling me about a friend of hers, or maybe it was a neighbor, who got sucked into seances and demonic things because her brother died. Her brother died, and she met someone who had this secret knowledge of her brother. And she had some issue, and she used to always go to her brother for advice. And here's this person who knows about her brother, knows about his life, knows about his kids, knows about everything. And then that person says, "Well, if you want to talk to your brother, I can arrange that." And because of her grief, she began to get sucked into seances, witchcraft, communicating with the dead. She wasn't talking with her brother. It was demonic. And she, by God's grace, realized that halfway through it and got out of there. But beyond, just being honest, many times, some of those experiences, they are spiritual and they're demonic. We need to be very, very careful. If someone comes up to you and says, "I know your deceased loved one, and I can talk to them, and if you want to, I can arrange that," you need to run. I don't care what information they have. If they say, "Oh, I talked to him the other day, and this is what he said, and he wants you to know this," as hard as that is the devil preying on your grief. And don't think he won't. He absolutely, positively will prey on your grief. Okay? So that is another possibility. I would say in our world today, that is a rare thing. I would say that is much more prevalent, though, than the Samuel experience. And I would say that is very real. And you need to be very careful, because the devil will use your grief, the missing your mother, the missing your father, missing your husband, missing your wife, to draw you into demonic activity. You need to be very careful with that. Now, a couple more passages of Scripture. 1 Kings 19:2, and this is the last possibility. "Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there." Okay, he is fleeing for his life. There's a lot of stress, a lot of terror. "He went himself a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He said, 'It's enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's.' And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, Behold, then an angel touched him and said, Arise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, a cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Matthew 4:11. This is after Jesus has fasted for 40 days. The devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Luke 22:41. And he was withdrawn from them but a stone's cast. This is Jesus praying in the garden. He kneeled down and prayed, saying, Lord, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is under a lot of stress. He's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to bear the wrath of God for our sins. And what happens? There appeared an angel to him from heaven, strengthening him. The last possibility is that God in his grace can send spiritual angelic help to help you in your time of grief and your time of struggles. To be honest with you, as I look at this, most of the widows and others that I've talked to, their experiences, they kind of go, I don't even know if I trust my own mind. But you know what? Like my grandma, that sure was nice. That was very comforting. And what I would challenge you to do, because most of the people in here, when I think of their loved ones who've departed, their loved ones who know the Lord, your loved one who knows the Lord wants you to give God glory for the comfort you receive. And now how God chooses to comfort you, that's his business. Whether that is through him giving you a dream, an interesting experience, you see something that other people would call a coincidence, maybe it's an angel himself coming and comforting you. What we need to do is give God praise for that comfort. Almost every widow I've talked to that's had that experience, or widower, or mother who's lost their child, they said it's just so comforting. Then praise God for the comfort he gave. That is what your loved one who loves Christ would want you to do. Give God praise for it. So, can the dead communicate with the living? I'm going to have to say 99.999999999999% of the time, no. There is one time it happened, and it was not a good thing. So, if you have an experience where you see things, hear things, interesting coincidences, interesting dream, all of that. If God uses that to comfort you in your grief, I would say, then praise the Lord. Maybe God sent an angel to minister to you. He did that to Jesus. He did that to Elijah. And he can do that with you. You can read in Hebrews 13 about strangers entertaining angels unaware. So, in answering the question, I would say, when you have an experience like that, or a loved one, you see someone dying and have an experience like that, there's four possibilities. One, it is possible, very, 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 very unlikely that that is a dead believer communicating with them. I would say pretty much it's not. It is also very possible that it's just an effect of the morphine, effect of the stress, the lack of sleep, the grief, whatever it may be, the Ambien, whatever it may be, it's going to affect your mind, and you may have experiences that aren't real. It could be demonic. Especially if the pull there is away from Jesus, and where you are beginning to, I've got to do whatever it takes, like Saul, to talk with this person. You need to be very careful of that. But I would, at the end of the day, say many times God does comfort his grieving people. The Holy Spirit's name is the Comforter. And he loves his children. He knows the grief that you go through when you lose a loved one. And many times, my dad has had very interesting experiences when believers die. And some of them have said, I see Jesus coming to get me and breathe their last. I'll believe that. Okay, many times people have, he had somebody that right before they died, they sit up in bed, stuck out their arms, got the most wonderful smile on their face and passed. Okay, I will give you that that's probably Jesus coming to get his loved one home. Dead communicating with the living, I have to say, it just doesn't happen. Especially if what you experienced was comforting. Especially if what you experienced brought you peace. Because the only time it's ever happened, it put a grown man in the fetal position. It terrified him. Does God comfort us? Yes. By sending our loved ones back to communicate with us? No. By in his grace, wrapping us in